Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
I'm Aaron McMahon.
The Michigan hockey team has started its season with a bang. Basketball season is approaching, and Michigan's two programs recently held their media day. The Michigan football team returns this week after a bye. We've got it all covered on this episode of Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be back with you. A lot to talk about. You know, it's been a steady kind of grind here of the football season, you know, previewing games, recapping games, but football team went on a bye, coming back this week, and we've got some other sports to talk about. So let's start with one that actually played some games. That's the Michigan hockey team. I mean, Ryan, you went to one of their earlier season games, so you can talk about it, but I just want to say right away, the scores that I'm seeing so far are not surprising, given that they had four of the top five picks in the NHL draft. Like, yeah, this team was supposed to be really good, and they seem to be so far.
Yes, a soon-to-be number one ranked nationally Michigan hockey team. I mean, just this past weekend, they were at Minnesota Duluth for a kind of a tournament between four teams, all top 10 teams, and Michigan went in there, knocked off Duluth, who was ranked number five, 5-1 on Friday night, scored five unanswered goals. And that's the team they were supposed to open the NCAA tournament against last year, and Duluth went on to make it to the finals. So obviously it's a different season, but a little bit of a redemption there. And then Michigan faced the number one Minnesota State on Saturday night, fell behind 2-1, tied the game, and then scored the go-ahead goal with a little over four minutes left and knocked off the number one team in the country. Now they're 4-0. They've outscored teams 21-8. And yeah, they're living up to those high expectations.
I was seeing some tweets about that Minnesota State game, I think, you know, because Jawan gets involved, you know, congratulating them or whatever. And they weren't showing the team name. Like at one point, it just showed like the, you know, the logo from Minnesota State. Another time, I feel like it said MSU, but in like the different color, you know, their own colors or whatever. And I had no idea like who it was. I was like trying, it was like a game for me trying to figure out who it was before I finally looked it up. Are they, I mean, obviously they're number one. Are they like a traditional power? I can't say I've been. Like,
they have been. Yeah. They've been good for the past. I mean, even when I was at the Big Rapids paper, they were in the same conference as Ferris State. And yeah, they've dominated that league, but it's just not as competitive as the Big Ten and the Hockey East conferences and the NCHC. But like they would dominate their conference play, have a high seed in the NCAA tournament, and they always seem to lose early on in the NCAA tournament. But they've been a perennial top power here for at least the last 10 years or so. I mean, it's a big win for Michigan to especially going all the way to Duluth and picking up a couple wins. So yeah, the Minnesota State Mavericks.
Okay. So from seeing them in person, from what you know about, you know, this weekend's, you know, championship. Yeah. What are kind of the key takeaways? Any surprises or what's going on?
So I went to the opener against Lake Superior State. They won those games 5-1 and 7-4. And in the first game, it was like those top picks were, to be honest, the only top pick that I wasn't really impressed with in the opener was Maddie Beniers, who I thought was Michigan's best player last year, the number two overall pick by the Seattle Kraken. But he had two goals in that Minnesota Duluth game. Looks like he got back on track. Kent Johnson had a few nice plays, set up a couple nice goals, and also had a nice goal himself. Luke Hughes looks so much like his brother, Quinn Hughes. Literally, they state the same way, wear the same number. Quinn is a little bit shorter and a little bit shiftier than Luke, who's the fourth overall pick by the New Jersey Devils. But it's like, man, like deja vu watching him out there again. So, but yeah, really impressed with Brendan Brisson. Has 5 goals already in 4 games. He had a highlight reel goal on Friday night, went through his legs and went top shelf, a really high still level play. He has a lot of power play goals already, and he's really kind of evolving into a top goal scorer for them. So I said the big question mark would be their goaltending, and so far Eric Portillo has looked pretty good. He looked pretty good on opening night, obviously only allowing a couple goals against Minnesota State's pretty good, stopping 28 of 29 shots against Duluth too. So you just got to hope he stays healthy, and they're going to face adversity at some point, but right now they're clicking on all cylinders. It's still early, but got to like what you see so far from this team.
And that's what I was going to ask you. I know they haven't started Big Ten play yet. Is there anyone in the Big Ten you think that could compete with them for the conference championship?
Oh, yeah, Minnesota. Minnesota's a top team, too. Minnesota was actually predicted to win the Big Ten this year. Michigan and Minnesota had some real great games last year, some really tight games. So, I think Minnesota is definitely more experienced than Michigan and has doesn't have the same talent level, but is still a very talented team and great, solid goaltending. So, yeah, I think Minnesota could definitely challenge for that top spot.
And I'm looking at the schedule. They don't play each other until December 3rd, December 4th. So we got to wait a while to see there.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Wisconsin will be good again, too. So there's some talent in the Big Ten, too. So it should get them prepared for NCAA tournament play and get them some pretty good competition.
So you're dropping a lot of info at once here. I just want to correct you maybe on some of the opener. 6-1 is the score I've got here. At least you said 5-1. Yeah. I don't want to short them a goal here.
I forgot they did start. They scored that late goal.
Okay. So yeah. So when do the rankings come out? New ones? Will they come out
tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Monday, yep. October 18th. We're recording here on Sunday night. All right. So yeah, Michigan hockey about to be number one. The AP poll for men's basketball comes out tomorrow as well. And Michigan will be top 10 for sure. I mean, possibly top 5. I can tell you I put them at number 4. I've got a vote this year in the AP poll. We got M Live represented. Whoa! On the football and men's basketball side on the AP poll. I put them at 4. I've got Gonzaga, Villanova, Kansas ahead of them, then Michigan, then UCLA 5th. So we'll see.
And Villanova's supposed to be good again?
According to me, I guess. So they're supposed to be pretty good. Yeah. You know, and I like to lean towards the good coaches too, as well, you know, when in doubt, but you know, as sort of some tiebreakers here early in the season. And Juwan is certainly, you know, as the reigning AP National Coach of the Year, you know, proven himself to be part of that group. You know, we had each program, the men and women had their own media day, you know, at Chrysler this past week. I was there. I don't know what's the best. There's like so much, you know, information stuff. I don't know. Do you guys just like have questions you could ask me? Maybe that's the best way to go about this, to try to break some of this stuff down.
I mean, they're supposed to be good, right? Like we expect them to be good, compete for a Big Ten title, like
absolutely
tournament.
Sure. Yeah. No, on the men's side, absolutely. They're, you know, in the kind of the Big Ten does not do a poll anymore. They haven't for a while, actually polling the media, but some writers got together and did it themselves. And Michigan was just narrowly picked above Purdue to win the Big Ten. But yeah, I mean, I've got 2 other Big Ten teams in my top 10, I think, or maybe I had Illinois just outside, but I got Purdue and Illinois up there too. So they're all supposed to be very good. You know, Michigan State, Maryland, Ohio State could all be ranked, Ohio State for sure. So yeah, it's going to be a very, you know, strong conference again, but Michigan is definitely among the favorites for sure.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think we have an idea of like where the returning players fit in, but yep. Which of the true freshmen do you think could have the biggest impact, if any of them?
Yeah, these some that'll have a major impact for sure. There's 6 of them. You know, they're the number 2 class in the country now. They were the number 1 for so long. And then Memphis, at the last minute, a couple guys reclassify into the 2021 class.
Amani Bates.
And choose Memphis. Exactly. Amani Bates being one of them. So that jumped them ahead. But yeah, one is expected to start. Caleb Houston from, you know, the national championship winning Montverde Academy down in Florida. He played for Canada and you know, the U18 team, you know, over the summer. He is just a sharp shooter. you know, one of his fellow freshmen has already started calling him Clay Thompson. He's 6'8", you know, meeting these, you know, people in person, which was something that didn't happen at all last year. So like Big Ten Media Day, for example, first time ever actually, you know, got real close to Hunter Dickinson, despite talking to him, you know, 30 times or whatever. You know, they're big, this new group of players. So yeah, Caleb Houston should probably start at one of the, you know, forward spots for Michigan. He, you know, some picked him to be, you know, Big Ten Freshman of the Year in those preseason voting things. So Musa Diabate would be the other one. He's the other
Musa.
You know,
I love that
Musa.
Name.
Yeah, he's the other 5-star kid. You know, really, really great personality. He's from France, but he came to the United States 8th grade year. He played at IMG Academy, kind of the other powerhouse down there in Florida. You know, he's 6'11", 7 foot plus wingspan, just ridiculously athletic. I look forward to seeing him on Thursday. Both programs will host a Michigan Madness event, they're calling it, and there's supposed to be a dunk contest, because the practice, what we saw from practice was just some jump shooting. So that was fine, but you didn't really get to see this athleticism that everyone's been talking about with Musa. So yeah, look forward to seeing that. He could definitely play out there with Hunter Dickinson at times. I mean, he's probably going to have to get on the floor, because, you know, Dickinson's going to be out there for large chunks of time. So yeah, those are the two that stand out for sure. But Frankie Collins, Kobe Bufkin, Isaiah Barnes, Will Cheddar, like they'll all have a chance, you know, to see the floor for sure.
I'm sure the Michigan PA guys are going to be rooting for Musa to get in the starting lineup this year, because I feel like that would be a sweet, sweet name to announce in the starting lineup.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, and then, you know, as Aaron alluded to, kind of people probably know about the returners, but quick hitter on that would be Hunter Dickinson, of course, coming back. Eli Brooks exercised, you know, the NCAA COVID waiver to come back. Brandon Johns, and then Devontae Jones, a new piece, but veteran piece, point guard. I should have a story up on him on M Live on Monday. A lot to be excited about. And, you know, then the women's side, I mean, they're coming off the best postseason run in program history, getting to the Sweet 16, you know, and they bring 3 starters back. A lot of seniors on this team. They should be very good too.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what Nia Selman can do in her 4th season now. Like, I mean, it's like, what more can she accomplish? She's already been so dominant for 3 years now. And now, like, her last hurrah and with a good supporting cast. I mean, if there was a year for Michigan to make another deep run, this is the year, in my opinion. But you're going to need to replace a couple supporting cast members. But it sounds like KBA is is pretty confident in some of those, some players to step up into those roles. That Haley Brown and who's the other one? Haley Brown.
Akeen Ray Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Akeen Ray Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think they have a nice mix of like the stars, you know, Hillman and Leah Brown, and then good role pieces for sure. Danielle Roush, you know, among them, Maddie Nolan. So I think they should be really good again this year, but the Big Ten, they're not going to be the favorite in the Big Ten. I mean, Maryland will be, you know, Iowa is supposed to be very good again. Indiana actually got the farthest. They got to the Elite Eight last year in the tournament. They could be, you know, ranked higher than Michigan, but yeah, a lot of good, you know, pieces for both programs, a lot to be excited about. Like I said, that event is Thursday night at Chrysler. I think, you know, tickets, you have to reserve a ticket.
We wrote about this after the media day too, but I'm interested to see how this new coaching staff kind of forms together too. I mean, when you change all your whole entire assistants on staff, I'm sure that will have somewhat of an impact too. So that was interesting to see about a little offseason overhaul. I know it worked for Jim Harbaugh. We'll see how it works for Kim Barnes and Rico as well.
Absolutely. I think there's some similarities there. I mean, you know, she went young and there's just a lot of talk about the energy they're bringing and things like that. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Season starts November. It's 10th for the men and I think 9th for the women, if I'm getting that right. But yeah, we got a few weeks here before the season gets underway.
Going back to the men real quick, it seems like the war of words between Michigan and Illinois is still a thing. Is it fair to call that a rivalry? I mean, is the disdain there for Illinois, but from the Michigan players, as high as it is for like Michigan State or Ohio State at this point?
No. I mean, it comes mostly from Illinois. It's just kind of interesting. I mean, they're very hung up on it. And, you know, you ask Hunter Dickinson, he's going to give his thoughts. So like, I think it's important to note, he's not like bringing this up on his own, really. He's being asked about it, at least at, you know, Big Ten Media Day he was, but you know, he's active on social media too. And you know, welcomes much of this. He very much looks forward to going on the road, you know, this year when there's actually fans in the stands. But yeah, I mean, it all goes back to Illinois, you know, basically trying to claim the Big Ten regular season title, even though, you know, Michigan had the better winning percentage and the Big Ten declared them as the champion. But, you know, not every team played the same number of games and Illinois won the head-to-head matchup. That was their argument. So yeah, that's really where it all came from. There's really nothing that went on in that game in particular. It was kind of actually a blowout for Illinois. It wasn't really chippy or anything. There wasn't, you know, much said. It was all about what then Illinois started to say afterwards, you know, claiming the title and things like that. But it'll certainly make the game more interesting this year.
Dickinson has a huge personality, and I love it, though, man. Like, I love people that speak their minds, especially when they're a college athlete. I'm eating it up.
Yeah, no, I'll have a bigger story on him like leading up to the season. And yes, it'll be kind of all about that because he is sometimes big men can be a little more like shy, actually. You know, they like almost sometimes aren't so comfortable in their own skin, but he's the opposite. He welcomes it all and he's very honest and open about everything.
Yeah, I like that about him. He's like, he comes across as this quiet, like you said, quiet, shy guy. But like when he's like passionate about something, he like lets the world know about it. And I think that's kind of entertaining and fun at the same time.
Absolutely. So yeah, so, you know, we've got winter sports, you know, underway or about to get underway. And then, of course, you know, the football team will return to action this coming Saturday at home against Northwestern after a bye. Yeah, I don't know. They're a huge favorite in this game. I mean, it seems pretty inevitable we're going to have a clash of 7-0 teams in East Lansing on October 30th after Michigan State's win.
Yeah, I think there's no question Michigan wins this game. It's just a matter of by how many points. They opened this afternoon as 19.5-point favorite at Las Vegas. That has since moved to 21.5. That means it signals to me a lot of money came out of Michigan this afternoon. You know, I expect them to win it. Maybe it's a little closer than we think. I think that's the big storyline this week is, you know, not necessarily is this game a trap game, but is Michigan overlooking this game because you've got Michigan State in 2 weeks? Because that's a game everyone's going to be looking forward to. Michigan State, as you mentioned, is 7-0. They're going into a bye this week, so they're not playing on Saturday. You know, their attention is going to be placed on Michigan for the next 12 days, whereas Michigan's got a game to prepare for on Saturday. And in a Big Ten game, it's not like this is a MAC school or some like small non-conference opponent where they can steamroll them. They might still steamroll Northwestern. But they are still, you know, FBS program. They're still a Big Ten school, and Northwestern is coming off a win over Rutgers too. So they're riding a little high too. But Michigan's got a lot going for them. I mean, the new AP poll, you guys mentioned AP polls. The new one came out today. Michigan is all the way up to 6, highest ranking since November of 2018, the week before the Ohio State game.
Wow.
I think it's a little too high. I moved him down one spot to 9 on my ballot this week, just because they didn't play, but there's some other teams that, you know, moved in. I jumped Oklahoma State because of their win. I didn't move Iowa out of the top 10 like some folks, a lot of folks did.
They got blown out by Purdue, man. They did.
He was lower on Iowa to begin with, though. You had Alabama too, going into this week, right?
Yeah, and they're up to 4 this week. I've had Oklahoma at like 2 to 3 to 4 for the last like 3 or 4 weeks. I got knocked for that a few weeks ago. They're up to 3 this week in the poll. Cincinnati's up to 2 this week. I moved them up to 4, so they're in the top 4 of my ballot, but I don't have them all the way up at 2. I'm waiting to see it. I want to see like Michigan play well against top tier Big Ten teams before I kind of move them into that top 5.
And but Nebraska officially sucks even more now than we originally thought. It's the disappointment after disappointment for Scott Frost and the Cornhuskers.
I know. Yeah, we kept talking about how great they looked, and they still didn't play well on Saturday. It's weird. If you look at the statistics, at least offensively, like most major statistical categories in the Big Ten, they're like top, at least top half, if not top 3 or 4. And they just can't seem to win games. They lose all these games by one possession or less, and they can't finish. And that might be the story of Scott Frost's tenure there in Lincoln if he can't get it done here, you know, very quickly.
But yeah, Aaron, you mentioned it about Michigan playing the better teams. I mean, this is kind of true for the whole Big Ten East. I mean, this back half of the schedule, you know, it starts with that October 30th weekend. You know, as far as Michigan State, Ohio State, and I know, you know, Penn State now has a loss, but we'll throw them in there as well, all play each other. None of those games have happened yet, between any of those 4 teams. So that's all going to happen, you know, coming up here soon. And yeah, absolutely. Like that's, I mean, you can only play who's on your schedule. And obviously, you know, Washington, you maybe expected to be better. And, you know, maybe Nebraska too, and any of these teams they played, Wisconsin, you know, but
barely getting by Rutgers now doesn't look very good either.
Right. I mean, all of that is true. But yeah, now the fact is that there's, you know, three teams currently in the top 10 still on their schedule. And I guess I could see how Michigan isn't as good as they've looked. It's like, all right, well, really, who have they been so far? They just haven't had those chances yet, but that'll change soon.
Yeah, this second half of the schedule is going to determine like the contenders in the Big Ten and the pretenders. And I said this, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? We're going to find out if Michigan is a legitimate Big Ten title threat, or they're just the best of the rest in the Big Ten. Because as I said last week, they've kind of beaten the lower tier Big Ten teams so far. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to discredit Michigan. They're in a good spot right now. They're in, you know, best possible situation you could be in. And they likely will be 7-0 after next week against Northwestern. But we're going to find out how good this Michigan team really is and whether they're a legitimate top 10, top five team, you know, in 2 weeks at Michigan State. Because you've got to go on the road and beat your in-state rival to cement that status. And then it goes from there. I mean, Penn State's a very good team. Ohio State, you know, after all the talk about Ohio State in the last month or so, look at the AP poll this week. They are the highest ranked Big Ten team up there. And I've been saying it for weeks. Don't be surprised if they run the table and win the Big Ten, you know, championship. And right now that's, you know, it's certainly in the cards for them.
Early thoughts on answering that question. Either of you, you know, Michigan, Big Ten, serious Big Ten contender. Like before we get into that stretch, what do you think? You think so far they are?
I don't know. If I had to, like, say something right now, I say they lose to Penn State and Ohio State. They probably finish 9-3, 10-2. That Michigan State game is, I think we said at the beginning of the year, I considered it a toss-up just because it was at Michigan State and given the way they played them last year. Michigan State, just like I think Michigan for all of us, I think they're a lot better than we thought they would be.
Yeah.
That game is not going to be easy. It's going to be a very difficult game. It's in East Lansing. I think it's going to be the telltale of Michigan's season. If they can go in there and beat Michigan State on the road, go to 8-0, they'll probably get in the top five at that point. You know, I think that would give them more momentum. But again, you got to go on the road and win at Penn State, which has been so difficult. Penn State's still no slouch. I know they got a loss, but they're still a very good team. And then you got the Ohio State. So I don't know. My gut tells me 10-2. They lose to Ohio State, Penn State at the very least right now. But, you know, they're set up for success. I keep pointing to expectations in the preseason and what we all thought and where this Michigan program was at. And if you would have told, you know, I think most Michigan fans before the season started that they'd be 9-3 or 10-2 at the end of the year, I think most of them would take it given what we saw last year. That being said, I know everyone wants a Big Ten championship. They've been waiting on it. And I don't see a reason why Michigan can't do it this year. If they're going to do it, do it.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, I'm still not too high on Michigan State. I mean, we're talking about schedules. I don't think they've beaten anybody or looked too impressive against a good team yet either. I think Michigan can definitely win that game. Penn State game all comes down to the health of Sean Clifford. I mean, what I saw from Penn State against Iowa with their backup quarterback, I do not believe in that team, at least offensively. I think Michigan could pull off an upset there. But what I've seen from Ohio State the last few weeks, there no offense can match up with Ohio State's offense. So I think I still think it would be a really difficult task for Michigan to pull off the upset there. So I think they could definitely be possibly undefeated heading into that Ohio State game, but I still think Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's funny we have not talked much about Northwestern at all. Now, the main reason for that is because we will later in the week on another podcast previewing that game. But I mean, I think it goes to show like, all right, the Michigan program can't have that same mentality or else they could have some problems. I mean, this isn't like, you know, a lower tier MAC school or something. It's still a Big Ten team. You know, you saw Iowa was a double digit favorite against Purdue and got smoked. I mean, it wasn't as big a spread as this is at, you know, 19, but, you know, certainly crazier things have happened and it's, you know, the ultimate, you know, look ahead game. So
I remember, a couple of years ago, Michigan was, a huge favorite going into Northwestern in Evanston a couple of years ago, and they were down at halftime. They had to claw their way back from, what was it, like a 14, 7 point, 17?
It might have been 17 nothing. I think it was 17 nothing.
Yeah, and they had to claw their way back. Now they won, but Northwestern kind of, you know, they spooked them there early on. So I'm not ready to discount Northwestern. And I would advise the players and staff not to as well, because that's what happens when you start to overlook your opponent for the next week. You take a loss, and I think Iowa learned that one the hard way on Saturday.
Absolutely. All right. Well, like I said, we'll be back with more coverage of that game and everything involving University of Michigan athletics on the next episode of Wolverine Confidential Podcast. Thanks for listening.